Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Voice for Spirit, live on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, monthly on the third Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. This is your opportunity to listen live with host Princess Deb. Deborah refers to her work as a voice for spirit to help those seeking enlightenment understand their own connection to the source of all life so they may empower themselves to create the life they wish to live. Deborah will discuss topics and tools on how to take your soul back to its original blueprint. For this show this evening, Deborah has received many questions from fans, clients, and listeners, so she will not be taking live callers. However, make sure you tune in next month where she will be taking live callers and offering one-card readings. And now I give you your host, Deborah.
Hello. Hello, everyone. I'm kind of excited. I'm also nervous, but kind of relaxed. So I'm so glad that I have Courtney, the best producer in the world, who can, like, piggyback off of me. She's absolutely correct. I couldn't believe, like, the number of questions that I got in, and I thought I would have time to, like, do a live, you know, for you guys to call in. But I've got a lot of questions that you guys want me to answer, so I'm going to focus on that more than anything else. I would like to say, in just introducing myself, even though Courtney gave like a beautiful bio, to really just break it down, I'm a psychic medium of the Metro Detroit area, and that I am also a shamanic practitioner. And I've been doing this for almost, well, let me just say my gifts have come to me full blast like 5 years ago. So in these 5 years, my clientele has hit the roof. I now have a waiting list of like 3 months, and I absolutely love it. And I'm hoping that this opportunity on radio will get me used to being on radio and having fun, and you guys getting to know the other part of me, because all of you usually see like the professional part, sometimes the fun part, but I really want to gear this radio show of just being real and just really telling you the ins and outs of my experiences and basically what this world is all about. So I think we're going to start. I think, Courtney, we want to start with the question. Well, do we want to start with number one, or did you have some questions you wanted to throw at me?
Actually, I'm not going to go in order tonight. I'm actually going to kind of play around with the questions, because I think that some of them are interesting, and they kind of set up a timeline for you, too. For example, Lynn asked, when did you know you had the gift, and when were you afraid? You know, let's start from the beginning.
Right. Well, Lynn, my girl Lynn, hopefully she's listening. I realized I had the gift, like, at three. At three, I started seeing, like, shadow people. So as far as that, to me, that piggyback on my clairvoyant skills and seeing and, you know, and feeling certain things. So at three, I saw shadow people. And then as I got older, I remember picking up a deck of tarot cards like I was in sixth grade, when I was in sixth grade. And I started playing around with those. And to me, tarot is a great meditative tool that kind of like opens up the door to your gifts. And I grew up in a really strict religion background. I mean, my mother's side was definitely Catholicism, Catholic. And then my father's side is like Souls for Christ and a Word of Faith, one of the largest churches in Michigan. So I have two religion backgrounds. So I couldn't really kind of step into it. And then when I got probably like 18, everything started hitting. I started kind of like really knowing stuff and predicting stuff and given dates and given times and months, and then it stopped. You know, I went on my journey and got my degree in criminal justice and became a paralegal, started that out really young, and was doing that for like 14 years. So everything for me was like black and white. And then 5 years ago, everything hit. So I would say I was three when I started seeing things. And I would say in between like sixth grade, which would be probably like 12 years old, of kind of like predicting stuff or seeing stuff or really kind of knowing people for who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't realize you had such a similar background to me.
Yeah. Totally. I think that's why we clicked, though, Courtney, you know, immediately, you know, when we were together. I mean, like, it's very hard to find two psychics that basically mirror each other in how their gifts come in, because then you know when a psychic is gifted and when someone learns it. And that's a whole other show we're going to talk about, of course. But we do have similar backgrounds, and I think that's why we're, you know, basically divinely here today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I totally agree. You know, was there a unique experience that you had that kind of indicated you had a unique gift? Sean actually asked that question. I know that when I first started out with my gift, I had a unique experience that just kind of stuck with me. It was kind of like the tell-all. Did you have one of those types of experiences when you were young?
I did. You know, I come from a family that of, you know, a lot of siblings, and I've had, you know, three brothers tragically, you know, get killed. And I remember my first incident of seeing a ghost or a dead person. And I can't remember how old I was, but my brother, he was killed at like 18. And I remember being at home and kind of getting a call. But before I got the call, I was upstairs in the bathroom. And in our household, we're used to a lot of family and people going in and out of the bathroom. You just don't care. And I remember being in the bathroom and kind of looking in the mirror, and I saw my brother behind the door. And I wasn't thinking too much of it. The only weird thing when I looked back was, what is he doing at my mother's mother's house and not my father's mother's house? Because that's the grandmother we share together. And I remember looking at him, and he said to me, it is what it is. And I can remember what he was wearing to the T. I remember the colors. I remember his face. And, you know, I just kind of blew him off. And then when I went downstairs and got the call, he had been killed. He had been shot at 32 times and caught 18 of the bullets, and he died at 18. So that was like my first instance of mediumship and seeing dead people and seeing them so real to the point you didn't know if it was a ghost or not, you know. And I think you're familiar with that, Courtney, where now we can see dead people, where if we're driving down the street, we're like, okay, is this a real person crossing the street or is this a ghost? You know, you are. You're like, wait a minute, am I stopping? And, you know, cars are like honking at you, like calling you assholes. And you're like, you really want to tell them, like, okay, slow down here. I see dead people too, you know. But that was the first time incident that really stuck with me as far as my psychic gifts. Oh, my God, like just dealing with shady people all my life. Or, you know, you read for that girlfriend that has all the boyfriends and you just like, you know, he ain't shit. You know, he did A, B, and C. And I'm just like projecting everything she hadn't told me yet. And then it falls into play. And, you know, we love it when we can tell our friends, I told you so. I told you, girl, you know. So that happened like when I was in sixth grade all the way high school. But I remember my first mediumship or being really kind of gifted with it and seeing it, even though shadow people is a whole another conversation in identifying like ghosts and entities. And I'm going to have one of my shows on it, and I'm going to have my girl Sarah, who runs like the ghost club on the east side of town. So we're definitely going to go through that. But that was my first incident.
Mm-hmm. And were you scared at all? I mean, I know people always are curious about that. You know, is it scary to see those who are departed? You know, how do you react to that? You know, how do you feel about that?
It's weird. I don't have any fear. I grew up, you know, kind of like really rough and tough. I really don't fear a lot of things, you know. When I do it as my work, it's very rewarding. It's very emotional. And for me, that's really big, because my friends can tell you, they call me the Tin Man of the Wizard of Oz, you know, because I don't really break down at home, or people really don't see that soft side. But when I first saw, it wasn't really scary. Like seeing my brother was like really in that shock weird, because someone's telling you he's dead and you're like, you're lying. You got to be lying. I just saw him, you know. But then when you see that person in a casket, you're just like, whoa, what happened here? And then you try to put two and two together. And in my culture, you know, being Black, we don't really talk about that. We don't really go into that. You know, that's like a hush-hush thing, or that's like a be quiet. You know, so for me, I didn't have a lot of answers. I just kind of went with it. So I didn't really, to answer your question, I couldn't really get stuck in fear, you know. Now, it's different. Me and you know it's different when we do paranormal investigations because we have no idea what we're walking into.
We bring the quartz.
We're walking into
the holy water.
Right. We're walking into things that transform into different things. Now, that's when I become the scary person in the scary movie, the Black scary person in the scary movie. So that is when I'm like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to check out that. Oh, no, I'll wait right here. Oh, no, I'll be your bait for a while. But after that, you're on your own. That's when it comes different for me. But when I'm doing it one-on-one for a person, it rarely gets scary unless I have that, you know, that spirit that kind of died in a very, like, a bad or tragic way, and you can't really tell if they are still, you know, upset about it or if they're going to even talk to you, you know. But paranormal investigations is totally different. You do have like a fear there because it's nowhere to go.
There's no way to prepare for that. You know, when you have a client, it's like you kind of know what you're getting. You know, I know you've experienced this where, you know, spirits probably come to you before the client even gets there. So it's almost like we can prepare beforehand. We know exactly what we're dealing with. But when you walk into a building, there is no preparation whatsoever. You don't know what you're going to get slammed with. And half the time, you don't even know the situation around the premises. You don't know, you know, who died there, what they dealt with, you know. So it's kind of like it's like getting a crash course all over again.
It is. It is. And, you know, they just throw us into something because they can't give us details. You know, you have to keep the integrity, but you never know what you're going to come home with, you know. So it's totally, totally different. You're right. We get notification of a loved one, like, before they even, you know, before your client even step into your office. That's why sometimes I'm, like, in my office, like, I'm praying to God they show up. I'm praying to God that they show up. I do not want this dead person to follow me all fucking day. I'm praying to God they show up. And then all of a sudden they show up and you're like, whoo, and then you're thinking like, shit, I got to get the dead person. You know, I got to listen to the dead person. So it is totally, totally different.
Yeah, when you read a client, it's like juggling. It's like either you get the dead person first or you get the client or vice versa. And then you're like, it's like, come on, both at the same time. Let's do this.
Exactly, exactly. And you hate it when it's that last client of the day because I'll have their loved one, their dead one, like with my other clients all day and I'm looking at them. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I should have had this person come first. And now I'm stuck with their loved one all day while I'm reading a client because you have to do so many things simultaneously at the same time.
Yeah, and it's even worse when it's one of those spirits that doesn't shut up. You know, they're one of those that they're like very insistent that they have to get their message across, and they're very insistent that you have to meet with their relative, and it's like, okay, can you just be quiet for 10 minutes because I have to get this done? You know, I have to be.
And a lot of people don't, and they don't believe that, and you do have, I mean, I even have spirits that get touchy-feely because they're flirting with me or they think you're cute, but that's how they were in life. And when you deliver the message to the person, it's such a blessing because you know that's them. You're not getting any, like, fruity, rooty, tooty message like, oh, your loved one is here and he says he loves me. You know, he loves you very much. It's like I'm delivering a message and I'm like, okay, your guy is here and he really is looking at my cleavage and he's pretty cool. And they're like, oh, my God, that is him. He is such a flirt. Oh, my God, and yes, he would like you. You know, like when you hear things like that, you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is like unbelievable. I still get shocked at times. Like, how can I see a dead person? Like, it doesn't really stick with me with what I do. And I've been doing it for 5 years and apparently very successful at it. But I don't even look at that. It's like I'm so engulfed in the spirit and a soul, and I so fall in love with people every day that it's just amazing. I have such amazing stories that I'm going to write about that you wouldn't believe.
Well, awesome. I know your listeners will look forward to that. You know, and speaking of, you know, touchy-feely and so forth, is there any stories that you would like to share as far as maybe like an interesting mediumship reading you had to do, like to where the information was just so off the wall or it was kind of hilarious in its own way?
Well, you know, yeah, you know, I like to call them my, like, rated R reading, you know, because you'll have a husband that passed and he still consider his wife, and he'll start mentioning really, you know, private things about their sex life, and you're like, I don't know how to deliver this, and you turn into like a little kid when you do the hand motions of the finger in the hole, and you're like, he's talking about this. And you forget that, okay, we can have adult conversation here. And I did have a spirit one time, and he was really prompting me to hit his wife on the ass. And I'm like, I just met this woman. I am not going to smack her on the ass. And we're, like, having this conversation, and I'm delivering certain messages. And, again, I always tell other readers it's all in your wording. So, you know, close to the end, I was like, and he would really like me to touch your jeans on the backside, you know. So she started laughing. She was like, he wants you to hit my ass. He always hits my ass. I know he always hits my ass. And she just broke down crying because that was her validation. And if I hadn't said that, this woman wouldn't have gotten her loved one, you know, or she wouldn't have believed it. She got him, or she wouldn't have believed that. So I've been in very uncomfortable positions, not only just sexual, but also dealing with crimes, like who did it and who knows about it. You know, I've had an incident where a guy has come in, got killed, and the woman brought in a guy with her, and the guy was the one who was with the guy that killed him. So it's like, how do you deliver that? You know, and usually in that kind of like incident, I told the woman to come back to me privately. You know, I just told her, like, you know, I need to see you. I put it in wording, like, I need to see you. Let's do a review, you know, and then I can go over, like, you know, basically what I see as far as, like, the case, you know. And I love the feedback, you know. This guy broke down after kind of, like, seeing my reading and being there, and he actually ended up telling the truth, which definitely helped the case.
Well, that's good, a good thing. But it's those tough situations, you know.
Totally.
But I can tell you that I've actually had those situations before, too. I think the most funny one that I can think of right off the bat, though, is I was once doing a group mediumship reading, and the grandmother came through in a negligee, like full-blown lingerie. And I'm standing in a room of 15 people, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I had to tell the granddaughter and the daughter of this woman, yeah, she's standing here in nothing but lingerie. And
right.
I'm sitting there, like, cringing, like, I'm going to get hit. Like, they're going to throw the Kleenex box
right.
at me. And
right, talking
they just,
about their granny.
Yeah, they just bust laughing. And the mother looks at me, and she's like, I told you your grandma wanted to be buried in that negligee. And I'm just like, oh, my God, okay.
Right, group readings are a whole, audience readings are a whole other thing, because now you got to say everything out loud to the person and sometimes call them out on their shit. And you're like, oh, my God, what am I going to do?
Yeah, but you're right. Wording is everything. How you word it is everything, because, you know, at the end of the day, I know you know that our job is to deliver the information, but to do it in still in a professional capacity, which sometimes it's just freaking hard to do.
It is. I mean, we're talking about mediumship and audience readings, but just going in psychically, and I always tell people the difference is that sometimes I have people come in here and it's all about their life. You know, I need to tell you your next direction, what I'm seeing, the type of person I'm seeing, their characteristics. It just breaks down in the org chart. I always tell people, as far as psychically with me, I read like the movie Minority Report, where everything flashes, and then I put it up in an org chart and I put it up in a tree, and whoever you talk about, I'm going to map it to you and tell you like your next path. That's what I love about my businessmen. My businessmen come in here and literally, you know, with me, because my second language is Russian, I get a lot of like Russian men, and they are like, no joke. They come in like, okay, Deb, I don't really give a shit about my wife and family. I need to know where this money is, and should I trust this guy, and tell me how much money he has, and should I build here? And I love it because it's straight to the point, and I get to read different, you know, applications for their organizations and go right into it. But it's totally different than mediumship, because mediumship, you just have to take what they give you, where psychically the information is already being mapped out and your guides and angels and guides are kind of giving it to you so that this person's soul can be on its right path. Where with mediumship, you have no idea once you do. I know with you, Courtney, even when we do audience, when you have no idea how many dead people are going to come in and steal the show or take over, you know.
No,
and you can't control that.
It's like dealing with a crowd of people that are all screaming at you at the same time.
Exactly.
So, you know, and you just have to kind of pick and choose the loudest voices so that you can get them out of the way, and they'll dissipate so that you can get through the rest of them. You know, it's kind of an interesting layout to be able to read that way, but it also is kind of difficult because somebody's always last and they always hate to be last, and you can't help that they're last, and you don't want them to be last, but it is the nature of the job.
I know. I always look at it like a big concert, and I'm like, okay, who wants to sing first? Who's going to be the headliner? Who wants to sing first? Who's going to be the headliner? And then it gets where it just kind of snowballs. And once I'm like doing an audience reading, I vamp out anyway. I'm like one of those readers, like I'm so nervous before I get on. And then when I get on and it's done and everyone's seeing it's great, and I'm looking at them like, I have no idea what the hell I just done. I have no idea what happened. You know, and you're just smiling, and I'm like, I have no idea what the hell I just said. I hope it was good. You know?
Yeah, and then you go home and you eat half the kitchen and then you pass out.
Exactly. Totally. That's our grounding. That's what we call grounding.
You know, growing up, you know, did you feel isolated with your gifts? You know, did you feel alone in some ways?
You know, with the type of family I have, you're never alone. You wish you were sometimes alone. But I feel like with my gifts, you know, we really didn't know. I mean, even today, like some of my family know what I do, but they don't really know what I'm capable of. You know, some of them, you know, are very comfortable with asking me what questions. But you think about your relatives and you're like, how much do you really want to know about their life? You know, and some of them, you know, it's very hard because when I see my nieces and I can see them and they're missing their father, it's like I really don't want to see my brother on the other side. Like I'm still selfish with that. And I'm still selfish with the fact, you know, like I was a daddy's girl, and I'm still selfish with the fact that he's gone. To me, I just say in my head, he's gone to the store. So when it comes to reading for, you know, people you love or relatives, you don't really get into that, and your relatives don't really acknowledge you have that. You know, I get some of them, you know, during holidays can say, like, you know, everyone better be quiet because you know she could see shit, you know, or you better be careful. You know, she going to tell your stuff, or I'll have, you know, certain cousins that I'll say, like, tell me, is he true? Tell me right now. And they'll have their boyfriend right there. Tell me, is he true right now? Because if he's not, we letting him go right now. And I'm like, don't put this man on the spot. We're trying to have, like, family dinner. Like, what are we doing here? You know, so with the family, it's really weird. There's not so much, only some of them are into it. Not a lot of them. A lot of them are very religious and are very gifted when they're on their platform in the church. But outside of this, this is considered like the devil's work. So, you know, we just keep it kind of meek. You know, some use me, some don't.
Yeah, and I know that I have that same experience. You know, some of my family are okay with it. Some of my family, it's hush-hush. My grandma calls it my voodoo. Oh, she's doing her voodoo again.
Right. Well, my grandmothers knew I had it, but, you know, it was like that hush. And I have to say to my my grandma Rose on my father's side, she was, before she died and I was taking her to some of her appointments, she looked at me one day in the car and she was like, baby, you have a gift and you got to do it. So she said, you go ahead and pick up those cards, because she always related it to the tarot cards. She said, you go ahead and you pick up those cards and you do what you have to do for the world. And in that instance, you're thinking like, is grandma sick out here? You know, and then I'm looking at her again and it gets so serious and, the tone of her voice, and you can just feel the change in the spirit and the air, and you're like, whoa, this is something. This is so something. So grandmothers know, you know, they really know, but they don't really, I guess, give that support at that time, because it is considered, you know, in their day, especially having a grandmother from the South, that's like voodoo, the devil's work, you know, that kind of type of thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really interested to ask this question, and it actually came from Annette, and I want to hear your answer to this. How did you master your skills? Did you have a mentor? Did you read books? You know, how did you feel like you mastered your skills?
First, to answer that question, I don't even think I'm a master at my skills. I this is something that was given to me and I didn't ask for. So basically I tell people outside of here, when I'm reading for you, I'm a whole different person that I channel, either that channels. But when I'm outside, you may find me in a titty bar somewhere shaking it up. Who knows? You know, because I'm totally different. But as far as like mastering my skills, they kind of like just develop. I believe that when you're a gifted psychic or gifted person, you don't really master your skills. You don't really have to take classes and classes. You may go and investigate certain classes or research certain stuff, but you never really, I say, have to develop. It just kind of comes over time. You know, there are tools that we should definitely pay attention to our chakras and clear them out, which may make your intuition more there, but it doesn't give you the gift of mediumship. I believe like in the UK, you either have it or you don't. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of, you know, here we westernize it and you have to be, you know, they tell you you can learn it and pay me this and you can learn it and pay me this and you can learn it. But in hindsight, just growing up with my grandmothers, they even said, you know, they even told me it's not something that's learned, it's something that's gifted. So I don't really have like any tools to master. I have great tools as far as cleansing now and being more clear and getting more clarity when I give you dates and numbers and description of people. And that's going to be another show of how I kind of cleanse myself and do different meditative tools to really ground myself to deal with the human world. But I don't have anything as far as like, how did I master? As far as reading books, all my books are from the UK. I think the only books that I probably dibble and dabble with, I like Rebecca Rosen. I've read some of her stuff. I definitely like, what is it, Eckhart Tolle. So uh-huh. I definitely love him. I love Esther Hicks. Definitely, but most as far as like guidelines and dealing with gifts, because they're so like you either have it or not, I stick with any books from the UK that's dealing with spirituality and psychic ability. As far as mentors, yes. This is very important, because my first mentor that absolutely loved, her name was Lady Joy, and she was a reader that read for Alhambra, which was in Dearborn, but now they're in Coldwater. And she used to come all the way from Canada and read there. And Lady Joy was this older Black woman that was very gifted, and I was really amazed at her and how she read the cards. And she kind of took me on. I started seeing her really young with my cousin Cassinda. And that was something we did every year. We would go see a reader, and we would always go to Lady Joy. And Lady Joy told me I'd be doing this for a living, and I blew her off a couple of times. And then towards the end, I ended up working with her, and she's now deceased. And she gave me such clarity. And what I realized with her, she would use the tarot card, and she finally told me before she passed, she knows not one tarot card. She knows not how to read them at all. She said it was always a prop for her. And towards the end, she had me teach her some tarot. So that was really one of my greatest mentors, like ever, in going into this. My next one, My next one I had, it was working for like a mom and pop joint. And what I can say is that I wasn't really pleased how she put a dollar sign on every soul that comes in there. But one thing I can say about her is that I learned the business aspect of the spiritual world. You know, a lot of people don't like her. A lot of people have bad things to say about her. And a lot of people have good things to say about her. But I'm just, this again, this is my show and I can say whatever I want to say. But in hindsight, I like the way she ran business, but I didn't like how she put a price on a soul. And my last two mentors were very narcissistic, kind of like ability, what I would say, narcissistic characteristics. That's what I want. And I learned a lot from them. You know, one of them was very good as being a shamanic practitioner, and that's where I learned to be a shamanic practitioner. I learned soul retrieval, and I love doing soul retrieval, and a very, very gifted woman. But the other one dealing with business, she was very gifted at doing business. I don't think she's very gifted in what she do as far as, like, reading, but I feel like she's very gifted in kind of, like, business. So I had really great mentors for what they gave me. But I always, always remember what my grandmother said. Never drink anyone's Kool-Aid. Never put one on a pedestal. God is the only one that is should be on a pedestal. Never put a man before him. So I learned a lot in that way. And my answer to that question is that you'll have many mentors, and it's great to have mentors to show you what they have. But they only have what you need at that moment, and then you learn. It comes a point where you as the student becomes the teacher and they become the student. And you always have to remember that in your path, because it's always someone that's going to be better than you. It's always going to be someone who's going to be skilled in a different way than you. But it doesn't lessen your abilities. We're all different, and they broke the mold when they made us. So you can't get caught up in the ego. So I always recommend people to have mentors, but also have a mentor that recognizes that phrase, that when you are mentor, you're hoping that your student becomes a teacher. No ifs, mm-hmm. ands, or buts.
Yeah, it's very beautifully put, too, and I totally agree with you 100%. I don't think we ever become masters of gifts. We're given what we're given, and we choose what to do with it, and we can definitely take it further, but yeah. I don't think that there's ever a point where we become a master. You know, the whole
and
life.
I love Annette, who asked that question, because I know her, and she's very gifted. And, you know, I know why she asked it, but I also would just do a side note to let her know, because I know she's probably listening, is that she's already a master at her gifts. And I think you understand that, Courtney. When we meet people that's gifted, we encourage them, mm-hmm. you know, and we give them what they need, because as women, we have to support each other. But we know in the spiritual world, it's very crooked. It's like the most scandalous world I've ever been in, and I've been in legal and the streets. But I have to say, we are one of the psychics that definitely encourage people, or we've learned our lesson in seeing other people do other stuff, and we know where we want to be in life as far as, you know, encouraging somebody else in their gifts.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of my favorite quotes is there's enough business for everyone. You know, there's enough people for everyone. You know, and I've always kept that one close to me because, you know, I think it's true. You know, the people that come to us are guided to come to us, you know, but we're not meant to read every single human being on this planet. You know, that's why so many of us are gifted, so that we can interact and reach a greater whole, you know. But I think that if you and I read 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's no way in our lifetime we'd still read everybody on this planet. It's not going to happen.
It's so true. And I have to say to people, I had a mentor for every gift that kind of hit me. Lady Joy was good for my psychic gifts. My other mentor was good for my shamanic practice. And the other mentor was definitely for my business practice. Now, as far as my tarot, my mentor in tarot, I didn't meet her until later on in life, because I had new to tarot ever since sixth grade. But my tarot mentor is Teresa Reed, the tarot lady. If you get a chance to check her out, I mean, just phenomenal, just in her skill and her gift and being gifted to do it, but also just in the business aspect of it, is just phenomenal. And I absolutely love her, because she's destined for promoting the woman. You know, the woman in your own business and just shining your own gifts and not have an ego attached to it. So I have to say that you do need a mentor for, I believe, every gift that hits you.
Mm-hmm. I agree too. Would you like to give out your contact information to the listeners if they would like to book you privately or, you know, where can they find you? How can they contact
sure.
you?
Of course. You can. I'm located in Pleasant Ridge. You can contact me at 248-881-3905. My assistant is lovely, Lissa. Also, you can contact me at my website, DeborahPsychicMedium.com. You can book me there. I am also every first and third Saturday out of the month at Mind's Eye Healing Center, which is a phenomenal healing center place. I have an office within there, and you can reach me there at the same number, 248-881-3905. So if you would like to book me on the weekend, a Saturday, that is in Macomb Township and is at Mind's Eye Healing Center.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. You had a lot of clients, listeners, fans ask questions about the negative aspects of reading. So I'm going to kind of summarize a few of these questions. You know, have you had negative experiences where you've had to give negative information? And in the reverse, have you actually had a negative experience with a client before?
You know, I can say that I am truly, truly blessed that I don't really have any negative experience with a client. I only give one example of I had a guy who actually had came in for the other reader that I was working for, and he wanted someone now, and he came in and he sat down in front of me, very ego, and he said, like, you know, I'm coming in here and I need you to do tricks for me. I need you to give me A, B, and C, and I need you to A, B, and C. And normally, you know, me coming from the east side of Detroit, I was thinking, like, I am about to cuss his ass out. But when you're doing it professionally, you have to sit back and you have to love the soul for what it is, and you can't really get into those emotions. So I just calmly told him, you know, give me a minute, and I'll be back. And I walked out of my office, and I went across the street, and I had lunch. And I came back after an hour, and I looked at him, and I said, is that enough tricks for you? And he was really astounded, and a lot of my friends laughed about it. But as I was walking him out, I did get in that kind of thing, like, I can't believe you did this. And, you know, I kind of, like, started reading him as I was walking him out the door. And I probably shouldn't have, but we all get into that, like, I can't believe you fucking did this. Now I'm going to show you. You know, so when I was walking him out, all of a sudden he wanted to, like, oh, let's do a reading. And that was the only negative experience I had. As far as, like, energy, I would say there are some people that come in with dark things that's on them. And, you know, Courtney, just as far as your practice, we're able to identify that and we're able to kind of get rid of it. As far as delivering negative information, there's a way you have to do it. Some information you get, you know it's for the person, and you have to trust the integrity of your guides and angels that maybe they don't need to hear this right now, and this is part of their path. Other information that come in, you definitely have to give it to them. I am definitely a reader that's very out front. I definitely am going to love you and try to do it with care, but if it's something negative that you're doing, I'm going to call you on your shit, and I'm going to tell you about your shit, but I'm going to do it lovingly. So that you don't do it again, you know. So those are the things we try to kind of, like, handle in the best way possible. But there are incidents that do come up like that. But I don't have a lot of, like, I hear from readers, they have, like, nightmare clients. Like, you know, we always dread that skeptic that comes in. But when the skeptic comes in, I really love the skeptic because I just go into my fucking mode. Like, okay, I'm just going to give them everything I got. Because it don't really matter, you know. So, and in the end, they usually tip me very well. They may not say I was right, but then they come back. So I always say to readers, like, just go with what God gives you and just go, because you're always going to have that person that's either scared or skeptic or want to call you on your shit. But it doesn't matter when you're walking in God's path. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, as long as you're delivering the information, you know, that's what the job is to do, you know. So, you know, it's something we deal with, you know. It's skeptics, I always look at it as like a challenge, you know. It's like an opportunity to really tune in, to really show what you're capable of, you know. When somebody comes
or
in and they're like,
or it could be the opposite, Courtney. It could be the opposite of, like, with me, the skeptic is like, shit, I ain't got nothing but time. We don't even have to do this. Like, this is my break time. I'm booked 3 months out. Woo, I never get a break. I'm going to have fun today. You know, so I look at it in a whole different way. Like, sometimes I'm not even, like, Chicago, they say, to show me. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, I get to twirl around in my chair and basically just stare at each other. I never get a chance to do that. I love to do that. You know?
Yeah, but it's true, you know. Sometimes that is the case, you know. It's like, you know, you step foot in here, you're taking up my time, you're asking for me to use my gifts, but yet, you know, you don't believe in it. You know,
right.
What is the point, you know?
Totally. And then, so, you know, sometimes I get people and they come in and I know within like 5 minutes, I'm not about the money. I always tell people I'm not about the money. It doesn't really matter, you know, because I have people who come in here and they don't have it. And I, you know, tell them, like, tip me like a stripper and we good, you know, but it's not about the money. And some people think it's about the money. And sometimes I'll, even after I'm done reading them, after they've been very a skeptic person, I'll get their money back just to just floor them, basically. You know, because that's their whole objective of things. But I'm very blessed. It doesn't happen to me. It really doesn't happen to me like that. Like, I could say probably three people. That is it.
You're definitely blessed in that regard. I mean, I can't say that I've had a lot of people who were troublesome, but I have had a couple of situations where I've dealt with a client that was just, you know, totally inappropriate, you know, and you know where both you and I came from. So, you know, and I even had a situation one time, you know, from where we came from, where somebody was in my face and I just was like, you need to leave. You're done. I'm not helping you.
I'm so blessed. I think God knows I can't get those people because I probably would catch a case or something. I don't know. Because I'm so gifted to do this task and I didn't choose it. And I think if I got those people in my face, it would be like, the famous psychic that's in jail now is coming up for arraignment. You know, but I'm truly, truly blessed that I don't really get that. Or my whole demeanor is totally different. I think when I set the stage for myself and when people come in here, I'm so loving and I fall in love with people that it's very, very hard for them to push against that energy. Very,
mm-hmm.
very hard.
Yeah, and I would agree with you on that fact, but you and I have come from some amazing experiences to where now both you and I can control that, you know, and now
totally.
That we can, you know, nobody can push our boundaries, our limitations. You know, we have such other control over that, especially because we both are independent business women. You know, we only have
totally.
To answer to ourselves at the end of the day. So,
that's
what makes it more unique for us. You know, if you see somebody coming a mile away and you know they're trouble, we don't, you know, there's nobody to answer to say, well, you have to read this person. Nope, I don't.
Right.
I really don't.
Right. Yeah, but that's when, you know, people put a dollar sign over their head and, you know, they just trying to get the money in. And we're truly blessed that we run our own ship. And I've had, like I said, with me and doing reading, I've had really good feedback. You know, most of my readings are like 97% correct. And I, you know, I can actually say that number and be proud about it and not walk into the ego because I get the validation back, because other than that, I wouldn't give it. But we're really, really, truly blessed that we can receive that divine message and the integrity is on it, because there's not many good readers out. It's very hard to find. Me and my cousin, we used to do it every year, and this past year I got the greatest compliment. She was like, I've been looking for a good psychic, and every time I fucking turn around, your name comes up. I don't want to read it by you. You know, she's like, you're the one, the name comes up. So it's very hard for us to find people to read us. I mean, even when we get together, Courtney, we're like, okay, we can look into certain things. But when we get together, it's not called a reading. It's just called us talking.
Yeah.
Having a good time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard, you know, to put a lot of readers in the same spot, you know, and I've had that situation before too. Actually, I had that out in Massachusetts. I went to Salem and I sat down thinking, okay, these people out here don't know me. I can get a good reading. Like I, you know, and the woman looked at me and she was like, I'm not reading you. You're too gifted. You're too good. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, a lot of people don't. Yeah, a lot of people will not tempt into it. I mean, we even have our own readers like, no, I don't want to read you. But in hindsight, think about it, Courtney. We kind of know most of the time what's coming up. And what we don't know, we're not supposed to know so we can continue our path. You know, I love that. You know, I think in this world, like, I think Jeannie asked this question, like, how and when did I decide to market? They don't realize, like, I know with me, I didn't even market myself. All of a sudden, I was just low-key, which I'm still low-key. You have to find me or you have to really know somebody who knows me to get in. But it just snowballed. Like, when you're good and when you're gifted and when you do what you're supposed to do, it's so snowballs and people find you. Now, as far as marketing, other people have wanted me for projects. Other people steal me all the time or want me to sign into something. And I've learned my lesson in signing into shit that don't turn out, you know. But if we have to, as far as marketing in this world, it's all about people and who you love. That's my answer to that. It's all about people and who you love. And as far as like financially, when you go up, the only time my pay had went up because of what I provide for my clients and what I have to do for my body to provide the information that I give you. But I think it's very insane when a reader is like $300. Like, I know in California, the up higher, and when I'm there and reading my clients there, yes, my price is higher because it just goes with the rest of them. But as far as like I read in India, I read people in India, Australia, and Russia, I keep my prices like the same. And that was part of like Jeannie's like question, like financially and things like that. I really didn't spend any money financially. I spent money on my tax ID number, my business name, and my website. Everything else is social media, and that's my thing anyway. So as far as like, I think with us and doing it, marketing, I mean, I think you could say the same, Courtney. It just things just started coming.
Oh yeah, definitely. I do very, very little marketing. I mean, I am in the guide, but hello, I work for them. So
right, exactly. I was gonna say, Courtney, you do have marketing stuff.
Yeah, but beyond that, you know, I really don't do much. A lot of my clientele comes from word of mouth, and that's good enough for me. You know, I'm busy enough by word of mouth that I don't need to do anything extra or even, you know, in excess. But I will say Deborah's richer than me because, you know, I invest all my money in my product lines. So she's got more money than me because I turn around and make products with my money.
Courtney, I really know you wanted to say she's big money grip, but you didn't say that. I like the way you worded that. But I think it's really good. You know, another question that I really wanted to answer was really good was Lexus. That's my girl in New York. I'm so supportive of her. I'm happy for her. She's going to be a bomb-ass makeup artist. I love the fact she asked me, where do I see myself in 5 years from now? I'm at 5 years now, and I never saw this as a reader. My income has superseded way past me being a paralegal, and I never would have even looked at it because I have smart sisters, and I have sisters who reach for the stars and, you know, definitely make that, you know, high income. And I never thought because I never looked at the price. But, Lexus, to answer your question, in 5 years from now, I have no idea. I mean, I have done so much in just in these 5 years that I can't even fathom 5 years from now, I know that I want to be in India. I am going to build the office in India. So that's the only thing that I look at is my complete kind of success. But as other readers see me, they see me on TV. I've done magazine articles. They see me, you know, doing books. I definitely feel like I probably will have a book, but, you know, hopefully turn into a movie. I have no idea. I am just loving my process. I am loving my path. I am loving the people that I meet. I'm hoping that I'll be married by then. You know, I would love to get married and definitely share my experience and share everything with the, you know, the person that I love. But as far as like 5 years, that was a great question, Alexis, because I had done all of this within like 5 years.
Dang it, I knew eventually you were going to cheat on me.
I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. Some of them, I'm remembering the questions. I'm like, oh, that was good. And I really wanted to get to my UK people. My UK people have questions about sex and how my sex changed. I mean, they're very out front. You know, they're very like, they have no shy bone whatsoever. They're like, did your sex change? And I always, you know, that's going to be another show on sex and energy, because when I stepped into this gift, and you can know it, we're able to manipulate energy. So I always tell my UK people, well, I'm telling you now, of course I have to watch what I manipulate, because when you're intimate with somebody, you can make their orgasm to a whole nother level, you know, if you're very skilled in what you do. So I found my, you're married, Courtney, but I found myself like going into celibacy after my gifts kind of like hit. And I think that's something that's connected with that. But I always tell people with me, like, I can't imagine like when I, you know, finally settle down with someone, because right now I'm looking at the walls and I can really hump them right now. But I always tell them, as far as my spiritual energy, yeah, sexually wise, there's a lot of manipulation you can do. And hopefully I'll do a class on it. But there's a lot of manipulation you can do to definitely please your mate and definitely open up their gifts sexually wise, not all about just the sex, just the intimacy is very, very important.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that because I am married. So I do know those experiences, you know, and it does change. It does change when you
it
are
does.
With a partner, you know,
it
especially
does.
A supportive partner who supports your gifts and talents. It can definitely change your sex life, and it can make it more
totally.
Fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Like just totally experiences that your body, you never thought your body would have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my answer to them, because they had a lot more, like, really detail. I'm like, that's for another show, and yes, I'll share it. But they really laid down. At first, I was like, am I going to be embarrassed? And then I thought about it, like, oh, shit, I'm Princess. I'm Princess Deb. I'm never shy about the sex area, you know, so that was really a good question.
Well, I know that we didn't get to all the questions, but I did want to leave on a good note. I know you've talked a lot about your gifts today. So let's take a little bit of a different direction and talk about your work and your time. You know, how do you balance it? You know, I think a lot of people have that question for any psychic. How do you balance your personal time and your work time and your life?
That came from my girl, Rachel, one of the, you know, greatest psychics downriver at Gross Island. Rachel asked that question. And my question, I would love to give you a professional answer, but actually I am very shitty at balancing my time and everything. And my friends could tell you that. If they could call in, they probably would blow up the phone right now and say, yes, she's very shitty at balancing all of that. Sometimes I have no boundaries, you know, because I'm always on, you know, and I hate to use, you know, to compare myself, but it is like a Mother Teresa kind of type of thing, because your intuition and everything just kind of like goes in. Like I laugh at people when they say like, oh, I don't want you to read me, but they don't realize as soon as I know your name, I've already read you. I just give you the answer like I won't, you know, because I'm just respecting you. But it goes into kind of like that. You're never really, I don't really balance it. I think when I get a husband, it will be balanced better. But with me being free and I can be buck wild, oh, God, I have no balance whatsoever. I do what I want when I want. I was telling Penny, I was like, I'm such a rebellious chick, Penny. You'll get it. You'll see. I'm so rebellious. But I can't say I balance everything because I love what I do and it's my passion.
Well, even when you find your significant other, you settle down, you can't really find that balance anyways. I mean, my husband supports what I do on a daily basis. You know, he puts me in check once in a while if he sees me exhausting myself.
I know your husband. He kind of puts that smack down when it's time.
Yeah.
And that's what I need. I need that person that's going to put that smack down. And I do have, like, a male best friend that's really cool. Like, I absolutely love Manish. She's, like, really the only guy that I kind of listen to when he's like, did you eat or you need to eat, you know?
Yeah.
And he has no idea how much I listen to him, and I probably don't want to let him know, but I do. It's like he sometimes has me in a palm of his hands, like, to do this or do that. And he was the first person that I was like, whoa, I need to listen. You know, I need to pay attention. He's just a representation of somebody that definitely could, you know, how that person can balance you.
But even then, we're still wild and free. You know, we still do what we want when we want.
Yeah, you know that when we get together, we definitely do what we want. Let's not let Dustin hear this.
he stepped out of the room. That's why I'm able to say this.
Oh, good. Good looking out, Corey. Good looking out.
Awesome. Well, we're down to about the last 3 minutes of the show. So is there any other information you would like to share with your listeners today about this show or any of your upcoming shows?
Yes, I would like to say that my show is about, like, just being free and talking about what you want and really telling it like it is. There's no hold bars. I'm going to have some great guests. You know, I'm going to have my girl Sarah from the Ghost Club. I'm going to have my girl from Siobhan from Red Light Readings. I'm going to, you know, have co-hosts. I got my boy Max, who's young and really free-spirited. I got him hosting. I'm going to have some people to tell you about, you know, chronic healing, which I do. And I feel like it was very a tool of opening my gifts to make it clear. I'm going to have that. But other than that, I got a lot of cool, like, projects coming up as far as, like, classes and, you know, doing workshops. I'm putting a really great workshop together and possibly a retreat in Sedona, which I'm very,
awesome.
Very happy about.
Well, you know, I'll sign up for that. I need a retreat.
Oh, God, yeah. But other than that, I'm looking forward to this radio show and just being able to be me and letting people see the other side of me that's kind of very, very frank sometimes. You ask me, I tell. This is what this show is about. And just being relaxed and being good, trying to be good.
Well, we are glad to have you here at Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Would you like to leave the listeners with your contact information one more time?
Sure. You can contact me at 248-881-3905. My assistant is Lissa. She definitely can take your appointments. If you don't hear from her right away, within 48 hours, she'll get to you. Also can text her. You can also book yourself at DeborahPsychicMedium.com. I have a really easy button on there that says book, and you can book your own appointment.
Awesome. Are you available for home parties as well, Deb?
I only do parties for VIP or people I know. It definitely depends. I definitely do fundraisers, and I definitely do events at country clubs, and I love doing high school senior parties. I do those every year, too.
Yeah, those are actually coming up.
Yeah. So it depends on the venue and it depends on the person.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to your show next month, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of April.
Well, thank you very much. I'm so excited. Thank you, and thank Penny, and I can't wait to complete this journey.
Awesome. If you're just tuning in, you're tuning in with Voice for Spirit with your host, Princess Deb. You can listen live the third Tuesday of the month, 7 to 8 p.m. every month. If you just tuned in and you did not get to listen to this show at length, you can go to bodymindspiritradio.com, click on Voice for Spirit. All of Dempora's contact information is there as well, along with a direct link to her website. And you can listen to the show over and over again. And we highly recommend that you tell your friends, your family, anybody, and definitely stay tuned for next month. I know that a lot of people wanted readings this evening, but this show is a great opportunity for you guys to get to know her. So tune in next month, and she will be offering one question, one card readings. Until next time, good night.